Welcome to Waypoint Real Talk, where we discuss real estate and your home. Let's get started with your hosts, Aaron Shishilla and Austin Hines.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Waypoint Real Talk. My name is Austin. With us today, I have Aaron joining us on this podcast, and we have Kevin and Lisa coming back for your second podcast with us. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you for having us back on with you. It's our pleasure to be with you.
Yes, we're awesome. So glad to see you.
Yeah, glad to see you as well. And I know that today we're going to be talking about some really important information from a seller's perspective. Do you want to just kick us off on a little bit of what we're going to be covering?
I'm happy to. You know, we were so excited by the opportunity to reconnect with you because so recently we had a buyer that we were working with who was purchasing a home where the seller was, in essence, selling their home on their own for sale by owner. And the seller was completely unprepared for our home inspection period. And so much so that we thought, gosh, we wish we could just educate everybody's sellers, not just our own sellers, but everybody's sellers on how to be properly prepared and really eliminate the issues that often arise during the typical home inspection. So that's what we're going to want to focus in on, is how to be prepared as a seller, and if you're a buyer, what to expect during the typical home inspection process.
Awesome. Yeah, this is going to be a great one to talk about, especially, you know, recently from our perspective, we've come across more and more homes where the seller may have all their stuff packed into the garage and the inspector can't access the electrical panel. Or they try and go up in the attic, but the attic access is in a closet and the seller has so much stuff packed in the closet, there's no way that the inspector can get up there. And not to say that those two are going to be end of the world scenarios, right? But it does cause an inconvenience and it causes maybe a delay in the process because now we have to wait for stuff to get cleared for us to come back out. So I think this is going to be great as far as setting some expectations. So what would you say, starting out from your end, on educating the seller with just making sure that they're prepared for the home inspection? What are some steps that they can take for that?
Well, you already raised some very good points, which is you want to make certain that the property is fully accessible for a home inspection, that the home inspector can get access to all the critical points of the property so that they can see the air conditioning system, that they can get into that little tiny crawl space beneath the stairwell where the water heater is nicely hidden away, but you've got boxes in front of it. You want to make it easy for the home inspector to access all those critical points of the infrastructure of the house. But then also you want to make certain that, as best as you're able to have it be the case, that everything is functioning properly. Our whole point when working with a seller preparing for the home inspection is, look, we don't want to have to renegotiate things after the home inspection. We want the home inspection to go smoothly. We want the buyer to have their eyes wide open as to what it is they are purchasing, but we don't want to have to deal with all sorts of issues that we actually could have prevented.
Yeah, that's... Yep, go ahead, Aaron.
I was just going to jump in and say here that, you know, a lot of times we say, oh, let's keep the home accessible and make sure that we can see the electrical panel or whatever it is. And sellers may not realize or be thinking this way, but even if you have something simple like a cabinet or a shelf that's in the way, home inspectors don't want to move those things because one little thing, it's a little vase, it's, you know, a nice lamp that's a collectible or something that's, it's the only one of its kind. And then the home inspector's liable for that. So even if it appears like it's something small, you really have to be blatant about making sure that everything is accessible in the home. And even if it's just behind a cabinet or, you know, there's a little shelf in the way, that you move those items out of the way.
And we want to also make it clear that typically the home seller should vacate the property during the home inspection. They should go out, go to a coffee shop, get some errands done, give the buyer the home inspector and the buyer's agent plenty of room to talk freely, to really understand what it is the buyer is about to be purchasing. It's, you know, typically the largest investment that anybody makes in the course of their lifetime. And you want to give them the space that they would need so that they can talk freely. A lot of times buyers are going to be reluctant to talk openly if the seller is following around and present during the home inspection. And most real estate agents are going to tell the seller that they should step out during the home inspection. But really, you want to leave the condition of the property such that you can leave. If a couch is up against a wall and that just happens to be the access panel for the plumbing, for the bathroom shower, pull the couch away. Just think ahead a little bit. You know your house. Make it so that it's easy for people to get access to those important parts of the house.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite scenarios we've come across is a seller that has a classic car parked in the garage underneath the attic access. Ooh. And when we call them up and say, hey, we can't get access to the attic, they're like, oh, just back it out. Just push it out of the garage. You're fine. It's like, come on. It's, you know, just setting expectations is important.
Back out the 1963 Corvette split window car. It's only worth $250,000. I'm sure you're not going to scratch it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if our E&O covers that from the inspector perspective, but yeah, it's all about the preparation, right? And as Aaron mentioned, understanding the limitations of what the inspector can or is going to be willing to do in certain circumstances. And I think, Kevin, you brought up a great point as well with encouraging the seller to leave, to not be there at the time of the inspection. I know we've come across that where we hear from our inspectors, the seller decides to stay when it comes time to review the findings. And sometimes the buyer will ask the inspector, can we step over here? Like, can we go step out in the backyard to talk about this? Because they just don't feel comfortable openly discussing that information. And I mean, it makes sense at the end of the day, right? The inspection is for the buyer's benefit when it's the buyer who hires the inspector, so that they know what they're getting into. And depending on the contract, they could possibly decide what they want to try to negotiate. So they kind of want to play their cards close to the chest before they're ready to reveal what it is they're going to come to the seller with, right? Is that generally what we see the situation being?
Yes, that's correct. And we had a situation one time where the sellers were at the house during the home inspection, and also the seller's agent was there, and he was hovering around when it was time to go over the report. And Kevin asked him if he could please leave us in privacy so that we could go over the report. And he finally did, but he was hovering around like crazy and until we asked him to leave, and then he did. And, you know, and it's okay to ask the agent to leave because they shouldn't be hovering around like that. But if they are, they're clearly, you know, just trying to push it. So it's perfectly acceptable and okay to go ahead and ask them to leave if you need to.
And we often encounter that the seller might be lingering around too, to try to explain away any of the issues that this guy is finding. They're not really issues.
They just probably don't understand that it's inappropriate. So that's one thing, but the agents know better. So it's okay to ask them to leave if you need to.
Absolutely. If you're a buyer and you're purchasing a property, you're paying for this time with the home inspector, and they're there to service you. And so you really deserve to get their fullest help and ask them any question you might have without this third-party seller lingering around, interfering with the valuable time that you just paid to have with your home inspector. And most of the time, 90% of the time, there are zero issues with this.
Yeah, we only had that happen once or twice.
It's so rare, but it's just something.
You'd hate for somebody to not know that it's okay to ask them to leave and just put up with that, you know?
Exactly.
You know, this is a good transition because sellers, for those sellers and those sellers agents that want to hang around for the home inspection, you mentioned the buyers paid for this. The sellers could do the same. They could get their own home inspection and avoid the stress entirely with a pre-listing inspection. Do you both recommend those pre-listing inspections? Because I know Waypoint offers these inspections, right? But not everybody takes this up on the offer. What is your perspective on these pre-listing inspections and your thoughts?
We're so glad that home inspectors are now offering this to home sellers as a preventative approach to preparing for getting your home on the market. I think it's a brilliant way to spend a little bit of money right now so that you do not have future issues. A lot of times people are saying, you know, we're thinking about swapping out the kitchen cabinets. We're thinking about doing new countertops. What do you think? And we're like, get rid of the Zinsco panel, you know, but they don't know. They think, oh, the electrical panel's been here since the 1960s. The aluminum wire, it's fine. But they don't realize that these are major issues that they're about to encounter when they actually do have a home inspection. And we feel that having a home inspection as a seller is a very smart investment. It's difficult because right now most sellers aren't of the mindset that they should spend their money this way. We think it's a great way to be prepared for getting your home on the market. As I was mentioning, a lot of times home sellers are thinking, hey, Kevin, hey, Lisa, come on over, take a look. We're thinking about swapping out the flooring. What do you think? And we're thinking, golly, you've got a 17-year-old water heater. You've got a 12-year-old air conditioning system. You've got the Challenger electrical panel, and you're thinking about flooring. Let us tell you what you really need to do. And so we would advise them to hire a home inspection company, whether it be Waypoint or, you know, people are listening to this podcast from all over the country. It's so smart to have a home inspector come over, tell you precisely what you're about to encounter so that you can spend your money wisely to eliminate the real issues that are about to come up. We recently put together a report that we're happy to talk about. We'll make it available to everybody who's listening. If you go to our website, reallean.com/value, you can access the National Association of Realtors annual cost to value report, which shares what money you spend and how it improves the value of your home when you sell. All too often, people are thinking, well, we should do brand new countertops. And they don't realize that there's a very low return on investment. Whereas if they were to eliminate an electrical panel, for example, that is an insurance nightmare, they're actually going to get a sizable return on their investment and eliminate a major negotiation once the buyer has their home inspection. So yeah, we're glad that you do the home inspections for sellers as well as the buyers. We think it's a no-brainer because when you're selling an asset, typically you're selling the most valuable asset you have. You may as well get it in the best condition without throwing good money after bad, without wasting money, without making an investment that won't actually give you a decent return. If a home inspector can come over and tell you, these are the four issue points that you're going to have when you sell this property, and you can solve all four, you're going to get top dollar quickly for your home.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, I think
I'm sorry. That's
no,
true. You just don't want to get blindsided by things that come up, and then that's a new negotiation, and the property's off the market. And then if you can't come to terms, then the property has to go back on the market, and then that's not a good thing at all.
Well, when a property comes back on the market, the number one issue that all the remaining buyers ask is, what's wrong with the house? They don't think that, wow, maybe the buyer got cold feet, maybe the buyer had a job transfer that changed their home purchase. No, they think something's wrong with this house. And now all of a sudden you're putting a property on the market where you could have had that whole negotiation just never happen because you knew precisely what the major issues were with your home's condition.
Yeah, and I think an important thing to mention with that too is, you know, sellers under some circumstances may think that they know their home inside and out, right? They may have lived in that house for 20 years and they know everything about their home and they know that there are no issues with it. But as soon as that buyer's inspector comes in, I guarantee you they're going to find something. It may be minor, maybe major, it could be either of those, but they're going to find something that the seller wasn't aware of. And this ties back to our conversation about not being caught off guard, right? And not then potentially having to renegotiate. But one objection that I sometimes hear to pre-listing inspections, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, is I always hear, oh, but now we need to disclose that because now we know about it. What are your thoughts about that as far as why some sellers may say they don't want to get a pre-listing inspection?
Well, my whole approach to disclosure is you really want the buyer to have their eyes wide open. You really do want the buyer to know precisely what they're getting. The seeds you sow today in your actions, in your behavior, they're going to come back to bear fruit at some point. And if you're planting good seeds where you're looking out for the buyer of your home, where you're making certain that they're not getting into a nightmarish situation, that's just going to come back to you in some other wonderful way. When people are afraid that now they have a disclosure issue, what they're really saying to me, what my ears hear after 23 years as a broker, is I have something wrong with my house and I don't want to fix it. And my whole approach to that is, well, disclose it. You should disclose it, or you can fix it. Fix it or disclose it, either is going to be fine. But this whole notion that now I don't want to disclose a defect, who are you? How are you trying to treat people in this world? You know, you've lived here and made great memories in this home. Now somebody else is going to have great memories in this home. You want them to walk in the door with a problem? No. Just do the right thing. Take care of, you know, our fellow people, you know, people who are about to buy your home, give you a lot of money. If you want them to give you top dollar for your home, you want them to know precisely what it is that they're buying.
Yeah, I love that response. Humanizing the process a bit. It's not just you got a ton of offers on your home and these are just, you know, pieces of paper or statements that is somebody who's interested in buying. It's a person, it's a family, it's somebody who's going to make their own memories. And you have to keep that in mind and make sure that you treat them fairly. So that was
Absolutely.
A great point.
Absolutely. And of course, my experience is that the only way to get top dollar for a property is for it to be in top condition. And if you find that it's not in top condition, all right, are you going to not get top dollar, or are you going to make the repairs so that you can get top dollar? Are you not going to disclose it and then it comes up during the inspection anyway? Or are you going to disclose it and now the buyer says, well, I already knew about the old electrical panel and I'm still willing to pay this money? There's just really, to me, no excuse for not disclosing. And it's an interesting objection that either a seller or a seller's agent would have, Austin. It's like, you should disclose. It's just the right way to treat people. And this transaction is just too important to the buyer and to the seller, for the real estate agent or for the seller to think, well, I don't want to disclose something. No, it's not the right way, and it's going to come back to bite you at some point. You just may as well do it the right way from the get-go.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that perspective. So shifting gears a little bit, let's talk about how home buyers may tend to overestimate how much it costs to fix something that's found during the home inspection.
Lisa, you want to talk about this? I know this is something we were talking about yesterday.
Well, when there is a problem, the buyers tend to overestimate what it's going to cost. And we've had this before. And when we list properties for sale, our goal is to always get multiple offers. So we have backup offers. And of course, our properties are always priced correctly. So even if there is a roof that's not brand new, maybe it has 5 years of life left in it or something like that, we price accordingly. So then our buyer, if they raise an issue with a roof or something like that, we have a backup buyer. And we know that they're going to overestimate what a new roof, like if it has 5 years of life left in it, they're going to feel like they need to have the seller put a new roof on it, which isn't going to really happen. So then we have option number two, our backup offer. So then we don't have to deal with that because we've seen them come back with enormous numbers, and they're really just trying to get back down to their initial offer when they're in multiple offers. They don't want to pay as much as they had to, and they're just really trying to get right back down to that initial offer.
You know, another way of looking at it is if a home seller has a home inspection prior to putting the property on the market, and they know that the roof is a bit of a question mark, they can go out, get an estimate. They can understand precisely mm-hmm. what this is actually going to cost. They can share the report. They can share the roof estimate. Mm-hmm. And now a buyer can know with a bit of confidence that this is probably going to be $9,000. What really happens is the seller doesn't have a pre-inspection, doesn't know to go out and get a report from a roofer to give a proper estimate. And now the buyer is thinking, it could be 9,000, but they're probably going to have to do a lot of decking, so I should add on another 9,000. Plus, you know what? The roof framing might need to be addressed. I should add on another 9,000. So let's knock the price down $27,000. And that's what they're going to do mm-hmm. because they don't know any. They don't know. They don't have any confidence that a $9,000 roof estimate is appropriate. They're going to cushion their risk ridiculously large. We see it with air conditioning systems. A new air conditioning system might be $6,000 or $7,000. The buyer's thinking, but we might need all new ductwork. And you know what? Probably going to need all new insulation in the attic. Let's ask for $15,000 off for this. And these are the issues that sellers can prevent by knowing their home up to date, current condition, by having a pre-sale inspection. And they should also have a sense of what the real issues might be so that they can already have some estimates from reputable contractors. They might have two estimates so that the buyer has a little bit more peace of mind, and you can actually negotiate away a legitimate issue without it costing the seller way more than it really should.
What do you do in situations to where, you know, the sellers, you know, right now it's a seller's market in the Tampa Bay region, right? So sellers can have multiple backup offers for a single property. But what do you do in these certain situations when you're in a deal with somebody and maybe the seller's in a time crunch and they need to get out of that house and they have a buyer that's saying, you know, I want $15,000 off. How do you navigate through these and what do you recommend to these sellers?
So, of course, every scenario is unique. Every situation is different. And we'd want to just be very cognizant that each scenario might be different. When we're dealing with multiple offers, like Lisa mentioned, a lot of times buyers will use, I don't want to say a lot of time, but I mean, it's not surprising when this happens. They'll use the home inspection opportunity as a way to get that price right back down to where they initially wanted to buy the house. Mm-hmm. We had a situation a couple years ago. We had a property in multiple offers in St. Pete Beach. And the property went slightly over asking price, which was great. We had three offers, which was great. The primary buyer had their home inspection, and they wanted a whole new clay tile roof, which was probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 or $60,000. The roof was not a major issue. There was really no issue with the roof, but they wanted to get that price back down. So they said, we're going to use this home inspection, and now we're going to say that we want the roof replaced. We want both air conditioning systems replaced in this large waterfront home, which was gorgeous. And we want to have the electrical panel replaced. They were really just trying to get that price down. There wasn't an issue with the roof. There wasn't really an issue with the two air conditioning systems. One was 3 years old. The other was like 12. So the 12-year-old air conditioning system, it was nearer to the end of its useful life, but no issue. And the electrical panel wasn't really that big of a deal. And so we had multiple offers. We had a backup offer. We knew that the backup offer was still a very legitimate buyer because we had kept in touch with these backup buyers and their agents. So when we had this scenario where they were trying to push that price back down, we simply said, we've got buyer number two waiting in the wings for you to make a move like this. The seller is not going to do anything to lower the price or repair anything that's not really at issue. Why don't you just cancel and we'll get to work with buyer number two? Well, the agent hung up the phone, called their buyer, called me back in about 4 minutes and said, buyer will take the home as is. Got rid of about $70,000 worth of trying to push that price back down simply because we did have a legitimate option B. And the sellers were blown away that you could handle difficult buyers like that. But that's really the benefit. What we teach our agents, what we focus on doing all the time, is pricing a property right so that you'll have multiple offers, so that the seller has many options. They're not over a barrel with one buyer.
They're in a strong position.
We keep our buyers in a strong position. We keep our sellers in a strong position. So that's, you know, those sellers also knew the condition of their home well enough that they knew that the roof wasn't an issue. They knew that the newer air conditioning system was certainly not an issue, and the 12-year-old system was working fine, and the electrical panel was fine. So it's a combination of unique situational awarenesses.
And you made a good point, too, that it's a difference between knowing what needs to be done and what's being used to just try and get the price down. Because, I mean, there are some very legitimate things that the home inspection may pull up that they have to be addressed, right? Especially when we're talking about potential issues with insurability. I know in our last podcast that we did, which anybody who's listening to this one, you can go back and listen to that one. We talked about how you usually can get insurance even in circumstances where people say you can't. It just may not be the best of terms. But there are those circumstances where the home inspection finds something that is legitimate to go to the seller and say, we would like this to be repaired. But the example you just gave, where it sounds like they're just trying to pick everything they can and say, okay, we want to drive this price down. I mean, yeah, there's a big difference there between those two scenarios.
Exactly.
And my whole approach to it as well is, if the home inspection is alerting the buyer of a very legitimate concern and the seller wasn't previously aware of it, they're going to have to deal with it with this buyer or with a future buyer. May as well deal with it with this buyer and just solve it. Either take care of the repair that is needed or lower the price appropriately so that the buyer feels comfortable taking care of it after closing. But yes, you want to be aware of what's really at issue during the inspection process.
Yeah, absolutely. So your last point here is staying in a position of strength during the home sale and the home purchase process. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about what that means?
Well, sure. And we just talked about it a little bit with the multiple offer scenario. I have a favorite quip that I learned a long time ago, and it is what we call the seller IQ test. And it's very simple. I know you both would pass it. We would pass it. All of our sellers always pass it. But I'll give it to you so that you can enjoy it. It's quite humorous. And the seller IQ test is really simple. Which would you prefer as a seller? A, no offers. B, one offer that you may or may not want to deal with. Or C, multiple offers.
It's going to be C.
You passed. How about you, Aaron?
I'm going to go with C as well.
Yeah.
Smart
Obviously,
choice.
We have a whole bunch of brainiacs in the room.
Yeah.
So, yes, of course, home sellers always say that they would prefer multiple offers as opposed to no offers. Most people, however, position their home on the market so that they attract one offer that they may or may not want to deal with. What that is doing, honestly, from the moment they sign their listing paperwork with their real estate agent, is setting them up to lose strength in a moment. They're going to have a home that's overpriced compared to the competition. It's not the best option in the marketplace, and it's going to linger and not sell, and then home buyers are going to ask their real estate agent, what's wrong with this house? Nobody is going to pay top dollar for a home that they are convinced nobody else will pay top dollar to get. So by pricing a home correctly, which we focus on, we always want our homes to be priced right from the get-go, it attracts all of the buyers immediately. They come flooding to the market. You know, if they're on the fence about purchasing, but they see this home that is a gorgeous home, clearly priced right. It's going to get them to get out, see the home, weigh it in or weigh it out, decide whether this is the home for them. And all of a sudden, you have this wave of activity where you know precisely all the buyers who are interested in the house are aware of the house, have seen the house, and have had an opportunity to make an offer on the house. This keeps a home seller in a massive position of strength. That's what we focus on. It's frustrating that we see so many homes listed on the market that are overpriced, not in good repair, not easy to see. You know, in essence, home sellers have the complete control on whether a home is easy to see. And if you can only see it on Thursdays and Sundays between 1:30 and 2:15, you're making it difficult on yourself and therefore eliminating some of your strength. You may as well do everything you can to stay in a position of strength, and that's what we focus on. Now, from the home buyer's point of view, same thing. If you're a home buyer, you want to make certain you have your home financing ready to go, a strong down payment. You have your earnest money ready to go. You have all of the moving dates in your mind. You know what you need to do. You know what you can do. So that when you make an offer, like recently we had an FHA buyer who won in multiple offers. That's not easy to get an FHA buyer to beat out a cash buyer or a conventional buyer. But her total offer picture was very attractive. And it was because she was fully prepared. And so she was able to remain in a position of strength. I mean, if you're an FHA buyer and you win in multiple offers against cash and conventional buyers, you're a strong buyer. And that's what we want to do, is help home buyers remain in a position of strength, or when we're working with home sellers, have them remain in a position of strength. It all starts with preparation and being ready for what's eventually going to happen.
Yeah, and I think it's a super good point that you made too, of one of your strong suits is making sure a home is priced correctly at the beginning. And we talk about perception, right? If you have a home that's not well kept, the perception by the buyers is, did they take care of this house? If you have a home that's way overpriced, and when you look it up online, and I know we talk about how inaccurate some of these websites are, I won't name names, but how inaccurate some of them are with what's being shown, it still doesn't help when you go and you see that it's just been price cut after price cut after price cut, because then as a potential buyer, it makes you think, did they really just try and take advantage of people by pricing it as high as they could? And even where it's at now, is that a realistic amount, right? Working with a real estate agent, you would certainly be able to tell them yes or no, but it's all about the perception. So trying to get it as close to right at the beginning as you can helps everyone in the process.
And I would suggest too that even in a buyer's market, and of course nationally we're very deep into a seller's market, but over the years I have seen that when homes are priced right from the get-go, they can go over asking price even in a buyer's market, because it's a gorgeous home, well-maintained, priced right, in the right location, and I was able to get in there and my wife and I were able to see it very quickly. We were able to then have a couple of hours to noodle over it and determine what we'd want to offer. And then we learn that somebody else is interested, but we really want that house. It doesn't matter that it's a buyer's market anymore. If the home is priced right, it suddenly flips back to being a seller's market for that seller. And what we focus on too is having the situation where our client is fully aware of pricing. As you said, you know, you can do the research and determine the pricing, but also the condition. And so as you were saying, Austin, just a moment ago, is when a property is in good repair, a buyer is going to feel better about making a strong offer for it. We often joke about how when you can tell the home's not in good repair, you wonder what you can't see that's not in good repair. Mm-hmm. Buyers are willing to grant that this gorgeous home that is spotless is probably also well maintained. They're not willing to grant that this train wreck of a home that has all sorts of issues with it is probably really good in the bones. They're going to assume that this thing's probably a train wreck where I can't see it because it's a clear train wreck right here when I walk into the front door. Stains on the ceiling, holes in the plaster, issues with doors not properly latching, all this stuff that I can see that's not working right. as a real estate agent, I'm now worried about the rafters. I'm now worried about the foundation. I'm now worried about what's this floor slab look like underneath this brand new cheap vinyl flooring that they just slapped down. You know, it gives you pause. So we really look at it from a 360 point of view, good or bad.
Yeah, that's some great insight. And Kevin and Lisa, I know you've talked about your experience. You've been in real estate for a while. You're obviously very knowledgeable from both the buyer's and the seller's perspective. If anybody who's listening to this podcast wants to reach out to you or contact you for any more information, either about, you know, yourself and the services you offer, or maybe just some follow-up questions about what we've been talking on, what would be the best way for them to find you or get a hold of you?
Well, our website's an easy way to start, realean.com, and that's spelled R-E-A-L-E-A-N.com. We are across the state of Florida right now. We're growing nationally. We also have an office in Seattle, Washington. We're happy to just be a resource to people. If they want to talk with a real estate agent who they determine is sort of a straight shooter. I get phone calls from people all the time, and they say, hey, I'm not in your area, but I heard your podcast, and I just have a question about my home here in Missouri. Happy to answer. Happy to be a resource. And it's a compliment. It's an honor for us. Our phone number, 727-755-1995. People are welcome to give us a call. And we're happy to point them in the right direction for real estate agents in other parts of the country. One of the things that's different about our real estate brokerage, and I know you know this already, but just for your listeners' sake, you know, we're trying to change residential real estate to really help home sellers and home buyers keep more of their hard-earned equity. Our company has a unique business model where we provide concierge-level full service while charging lower fees. So when we work with home sellers, rather than the typical 6% or more commission that we often know real estate agents prefer to charge, we provide full service while only charging 4%, and we lower our fee to 3% if we're the only agent involved in the sale. In the past few years, we've helped local home sellers here in Florida save over $2.5 million in fees with our lower fee model. And we're growing nationally. We're always looking for real estate agents who are looking to be in a better environment as well. So real estate agents can look at realean.com and learn more about us. And we'd be happy to have conversations with home sellers, home buyers, or real estate agents, or home inspectors.
Yeah, and I love the point you just made, which ties back to what we were talking about earlier with disclosures, where you got to remember that we're all people, right? And so somebody who's not in our market, who just has a question about their home that you know you're not going to be able to serve directly as their agent, still being willing to pick up the phone and talk with them and provide them with resources or advice. I mean, you're planting those seeds that are going to come back to you in a positive way, right? Which is what matters.
Yeah, it's worked really well for us in the past.
Awesome. Well, thank you both again for being on the podcast with us today. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for all of your insight, and hopefully look forward to seeing you again on another episode in the future.
Thank you so much.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you again, Austin and Aaron. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you both.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone. See you on the next one.